Ephesians chapter 5 is where we find ourselves together as we go verse by verse through this book of the Word of God. And last time we were together here, we were in verse 18, speaking about the filling of the Spirit, which will lead us now into the next two verses, which will be on our plate tonight. Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to speak to us through these two verses. Father, we thank you for the scripture that gives us information about all that we need, things that pertain to life and godliness. And Lord, as we look at these things tonight, we pray that the fullness of the Spirit of God would be a reality in our lives, and that the songs of God would be fresh upon our lips and that would fill our hearts. And Lord, that our lives would be filled with thanks. We know that this is the Spirit-filled life. And we pray it would be a reality in each of us this evening. And Lord, whatever would hinder or prevent that fullness of the Spirit of God, would prevent that joyous song of the Lord, that would prevent a thankful heart, we pray that you would remove it from our lives, that we might be pleasing in your sight. And for your help tonight, we'll praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in verse 18, as we just mentioned, is a discussion of the fullness of the Spirit. If you look at the end of verse 18, I have to get my glasses to make sure that's a colon or a semicolon. Which one is that? Well, I need some more powerful glasses than that. Is that a colon? See, half of you said colon, the other half said semicolon. And I know that. Semicolon, okay, thank you. Y'all have different Bibles on me here tonight, or your eyes as bad as my eyes. So, it's an explanation continuing about that Spirit-filled life. And what does it mean to be Spirit-filled? You know, if you're filled with the Spirit, it'll change the way your life is. And the evidence, according to this text, one of the evidences of being filled with the Spirit is music. The evidence of being filled with the Spirit is not speaking in a tongue unless you're preaching in another language like our dear brother would do here in Portuguese to get somebody the gospel. The evidence of the filling of the Spirit is you've got such joy and gladness in your heart that you've got to sing. You've got to express that. Another evidence of the filling of the Spirit, and I think we mentioned it last time, is you are a witness. They were filled with the Spirit of God. They spake boldly the things of the Lord, and you want to be a witness for God when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. He's controlling your life, controlling your witness. So music is a evidence of what God has done in my heart. And then also in verse 20, giving of thanks. Mark it down. Whenever in our lives we don't have a gratitude, whenever in our lives we're not filled with thanks in our lives, God is not in control of us. And it doesn't matter, amen, if, you know, guys, how short our hair is, or ladies, how long your dress is. If you don't have a thankful spirit, you're not filled with the Spirit of God. Because that is an evidence. And by the way, I would say this, you can sing and not be filled with the Spirit of God. And you can go through the motions of thanks, you know, and bow your head and said, you know, now we thank Him for our food and all that. And you can go through the motions of that and not really be filled with the Spirit. But the truth is, you can't be filled with the Spirit and not do those things. And God is not wanting us to go through the motions of singing without the fullness of the Spirit. He's wanting to fill our lives, and He's wanting that singing to come from a full heart. He's wanting that thanks to come from a sincere heart that He's controlling. And so it's so important that our lives are yielded to the Holy Ghost so that we can have this kind of life. You know, people don't sing about Buddha. They don't sing about Muhammad. They may kill people in the name of Muhammad, but they don't get up and sing how much Muhammad loves them. And they don't get up and sing how much Muhammad has done for them. And they don't get up and sing about, I'd rather have Muhammad than anything. They don't do that. Because it's such a unique thing for someone to change your life in such a way that you've got to sing about. You've got to sing about them. There's no other individual in the history of the world that has that many songs written about them. Jesus Christ, the evidence of the saving grace of our God through the Lord Jesus Christ, is in our music. It's evidenced by that. It's evidenced by our thanksgiving. It's evidenced by our music. Music, God's music, is not only an initial evidence of filling of the Spirit of God, according to this text, it's also a prerequisite to worship. When we worship God, we all sing to Him. God likes us to sing to Him. That's why He organized worship and singing and praising His name in song. That's the way He wants us to come. Music is also a gift of God. You know, God could have saved us and said, you know, just forget music for the rest of your life. I want you to do this and that and pray. And have you thought about that? God did not have to give us the gift of music in our worship. He could have just said, you know, live for me like a robot, do this and don't do that, and pray to me. And He didn't do that. He said, I want you to sing. I want music. I want the joy and fullness and reality of God to be in your life and be manifested through song. Amen. And we ought to be so excited and happy and joyous. That's why there's so many hymns in our book about being happy in the Lord, because it should be an expression of that Spirit of God and what He's done in our heart. It's a gift of God to have God's music. It's a prerequisite to worship. What a gift He's given us to be able to express ourselves to Him. You know, God's a perfect... He's a perfect God. He's a holy God. And I doubt our music is that perfect. Have you ever thought about that? I'm not the most talented individual musically, but I know when I hear bad music. And I'm not just talking about sinful music. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I've heard some, bless their hearts, I've heard some of God's people get up and sing, and it's just like nails on a chalkboard in my ears. Can I be honest that way? And but God says, go ahead and sing that to me. I mean, a perfect God that knows all the harmonies, that knows all the melody, that created the scale and created music, and yet He will listen to us with all of our weak voices and our messed up notes. And He says, that's what I like. That's what I want. What a God. And He's wanting that to come from our hearts. What a gift He's given to us. But you know, we've got to be careful with music. We've got to be careful with music. Because it looks like music really started with Lucifer. Go to Ezekiel chapter 28. Just like there's a spirit behind God's music, which is the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Spirit leads us in to this speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. There's a spirit behind our singing and our worship. There's a spirit behind the world's music. There's a spirit behind the rest of the music that's in this world. And the Bible gives us an indication of why that is. The devil is so wise. And the Bible tells us that he was full of wisdom. In verse 12 of Ezekiel 28. He knows how to trap men. He knows how to destroy people's lives. And music is one of those steps that he uses. You know, you've seen maybe in the Far East, how they would tame serpents with music. Music is powerful. Powerful. It gets your emotions stirred up. And that's all right if your emotions get stirred up for God. But look what it says here in verse 13, talking about Lucifer. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Ezekiel 28:13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Verse 15, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. The devil was created with instruments, with pipes in him. He was created with tabrets in him. He had musical notes created in his body and rhythmic instruments created in his body, and he covered the very glory of God. I'd just say this, if anybody in the whole universe ever knew anything about music, it was Lucifer. We don't really have any other instance where we could go before this created being with these musical instruments where instruments or music were even a part of creation, yet they were created in him. I say he knows how to use it. And he does use it. And there's a spirit behind it. Somebody says, well, how do we know whether our music is God's music or it's the devil's music? Well, just turn back a couple of pages in the same book, Ezekiel 22. Here's a good test. Here's a good test for a lot of things. Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22, the Bible says in verse 26, her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. Look at it. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. He's saying there should be something that's different between something that is secular and something that is sacred. There should be something different between something that's in the world and something that's in the church. Something that's of God and something that's of the devil is different. And the great exchange that's gone on in our day with music, even religiously, is that the devil has taken his music and he has put it into the church and just replaced it with lyrics. There should be a difference. I mean, what you hear at the bar is not what we ought to hear here. And just because the words, I mean, look, there's a spirit there. I mean, take the words out. I can tell when I'm listening to bar music. I can tell when I'm listening to flesh music. Or music that sets the tone for immorality. There's a spirit behind that. And that's the music that is in the modern church. And if you took the words out, it would be no different than the concert that's coming to town next week with the people that don't even know who God is. You say, well, don't the lyrics make it all right? No, because there ought to be a difference. When you get to heaven, God's not going to call up the rock band to lead us in a song. That's not what he is. His music is totally different. You know, if a lost person comes into our service and they hear our music, it ought to be weird to them. We're not trying to make it sound like what they were listening to on the way to church on WZYP. That's not the intent. The intent is not to make everything feel so secular that I put a little dab of Jesus in there. That's not the intent of God's music. God's music is to be different, just like the Bible. The Bible is a different book from every other book in the world. I mean, it's not even similar in any other fashion to the other books. It is so honest about man, it hurts. What other book's going to be that honest with you? So everything about God is very different from anything that's in the world. And so the devil, being smart as he has substituted music to try to bring, and it's brought another spirit into the church. Look at Exodus chapter 32. Now we know that. We've got conservative music and all that. But you'd be surprised how many people go to a Bible-believing church, but in their heart of hearts, they've got a different love and a different standard of music than God's music. Remember what we heard this morning? You can grow up in Jesus' house and be a million miles away from him. Exodus chapter 32, how do we spot this music? Well, it's of the devil. Well, it's no different than any other music that's out there in the world. And then Exodus 32, I've always liked to go this to try to help people understand the spirit of music in the wrong. Exodus 32, now this is where, you know, Moses has gone up to the mountain, get the Ten Commandments and all that, and they're down there in the down at the foot of the mountain having a party. You know, you can't have a party without music. I mean, I can't even go to the barbershop and get a haircut without music. You sit down to eat in a restaurant. And you wonder, man, how can I get through this meal? And music is everywhere. It drives everything. People don't like to sin without music. It's powerful. Look at Exodus 32. You better watch your music. I mean, really. It'll drive the beat of your heart. Exodus 32, 17. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted. Oh, they're having a big time, man. This is the first church of Aaron here. Oh, make no mistake. There's worship involved with this immoral party and music. Religion's put right in the middle of it. Verse 17, and when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there's a noise of war in the camp. Here's young Joshua, and he said, my, they're fighting down there. We got to get down there. Wars broke out. And the wise old man of God says, look at verse 18, he knows. Boy, I can stop right there. Now look here. Joshua hears this noise, and he's convinced it's one thing. But the old man of God hears that noise and he knows exactly what it is. He knows it's noise of the devil. Joshua doesn't know what it is. You know, you'd be very wise to listen to somebody like Brother Nichols or some old man of God or some Christian that's walked with God all their life and just bring your iPod or amen, bring your music to them and say, listen to that, tell me, does that sound like God to you? Why don't people do that? People like to hide their music. I'd like to get your music and put it on the screen. And let all of us judge if it's God's music or not. Boy, getting quiet right there. Joshua says, man, there's noise of war. And Moses said, no, that ain't war, son. I've heard that music before. I was raised in Egypt. You didn't have the upbringing I had in the palace of Pharaoh. I know what that music sounds like. I know what that music feels like, son. I know the tunes. You grew up here in God's society, but I grew up over there in the palace. I grew up there in the world. And one day I left all that, and I know what that sound is. And you better listen to me. I'm going to tell you what the sound is. Verse 18, and said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery. Neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome. Look at it. But the noise of them that what? Sing do I hear. And notice the singing was a noise. And notice how different that is from our passage. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It's not a bunch of noise. But the music of the devil, the music of immorality is a noise. And what does the Bible say? Look what else is connected with it. Verse 25. And when Moses saw that the people were what? You know what people do when they start listening to wrong music? They start taking their clothes off. Hey guys, it would be one thing if this liberal music had godly lifestyles, but that's not the way it goes. The liberal music has people taking their clothes off. And by the way, anytime, praise God for these two ladies that came up here and sang from the pulpit modestly. If you're going to get up on the platform, be modest. Because the music of God should have a totally different testimony than the music of the world. We're not up there singing in our shorts or our tank tops. They're singing this wrong music and they're taking their clothes. We have a generation that loves to take their clothes off. They love to show their bodies. And they'll do it in the name of Jesus. And they'll worship and praise God while their cleavage is hanging out. And they'll worship and praise God with their tight blue jeans on for everybody lust off after their derriere. Is that plain enough? The music of God is different than the music for the devil. And you understand that by you look at the lives and the lifestyle and the clothing. You know what these people are going to do right next? Then they're going to start fornicating. Because all of that goes together. That wine, women, and song. It always goes together. That uninhibited lifestyle. And it doesn't matter if it's the country music or the rock music or the, it all pointing people to the same thing. Put on the music to sin. And they worship the golden calf. Our music is not a noise. Our music is melody. And if all you hear is noise, man, I've seen some independent Baptist churches. I've watched some of their song services, and all it is a noise. And they got strobe lights. Last time I saw strobe lights, when the last time you saw strobe lights? You having strobe lights in the church? And the fog? Where are we? Should be a difference. Oh, but they love Jesus. Yeah, well, Moses comes to Aaron. He says, why are they naked? And they brought all their offering and here comes the calf. And by the way, our music is not entertainment. That's what God's music is, not entertainment. He said, go back to our text. And while you're turning there, you ought to write down Galatians 6:12. He talks about not making a fair show in the flesh. Our music is not to entertain us or to make us feel good. That's not the purpose of music. Look at our text. I'll show you what the purpose of music is. It's twofold. Twofold purpose of music. Verse 19. Speaking, what's the next two words? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Hold your finger there. Go a couple pages over to Colossians before I give the rest of that to you. Colossians chapter 3. It reads exactly almost the same. The Bible tells us about this speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. To ourselves, he's saying. Colossians chapter 3. Watch verse 15. And let the peace of God, Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Watch how thankfulness again is associated with singing. It's hand in hand. 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, semicolon, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. He's saying, I want you to admonish each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The first purpose of music, our music is to admonish each other. Now watch that. You understand? So when I'm singing, and when we're having music, it is to one another, speaking to yourself. It's for the benefit of each other. It's not for my benefit. I'm supposed to be admonishing you. I'm supposed to be blessing you. I'm supposed to be encouraging you. I'm supposed to be singing. We are supposed to be singing. So the words of Christ start to dwell in our hearts richly and point us to the truths of God. So much music today, especially religiously, is entertainment. You know what entertainment is? Entertainment is for me. It's not for the benefit of someone else. It's for me. That's why they get up and singing. What's that about? Let's give Jesus a hand clap. This is going real great tonight. We don't get up and sing so somebody can clap. It's not entertainment. It's not the Grand Ole Opry. It was for the admonishment of the truth in our hearts. Look at our text again, back in Ephesians. It's not just for the admonishment of each other and the help for one another. I might elaborate on that in a minute. But he says, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. Watch it. There's the next two phrases. He says, to yourselves. And then he says, singing and making melody in your heart, what? To the Lord. So our music is for the Lord's enjoyment. It's for the pleasure of the Lord. I've told this here before. When we were over in Romania and we started writing songs and translating songs in the Romanian language, and we're having our song service, and these people, you know, these Romanians never heard anything in their life, and this young man comes in, and after the service, he wasn't saved. After service, he started talking to me, and I said, what do you think about the service? We sung, we preached, we prayed. He said, well, he said, you scared me a little bit a few times when you got loud, but screaming. I said, no, I'm not screaming, just preaching. He said, whatever that is. And then he said, but you know what really bothered me? He said, your music is, I don't like your music. You know what I said to him? I said, that's all right. It wasn't for you. Do you understand the difference? It's for him. In other words, when we come to God's house, we want to sing the music God likes. You say, how do you know what he likes? Well, if you're filled with the Spirit, you know what he likes. If you walk with him enough, you know what he likes and you know what he hates. I've gone to my children before and I've said, you know, don't listen to that. Well, what's wrong with it? I said, God don't like it.
Amen.
He said, how do you know? Because I know God.
Yeah.
Oh, that's rather presumptuous. Well, you can call it what you want to. But when we get to heaven, They're not going to be singing K, Sarah, Sarah, and they're not going to be doing this jiving stuff down the road, and they're not going to be dancing up. The dancing was at Moses and Joshua and at the foot of the... That's where the dancing was. No, you're going to be holy here. This is music for me. So, in other words, what we do when we come to church, we say, all right, God, we're going to sing what you like. And if I don't really like it, Brother Knox told me the other day they've had so many visitors at the church. He said, and so they wouldn't come back to church. Had so many. I mean, the church is about full anyway. But they sent all these cards out to them and they said, fill this out and send it back, postage paid. We're not gonna come to your house. We're not going to talk. We just want to know why you didn't come back and what you don't like. That's a big thing to ask. I'd never do that. I don't care. Well, anyway. But anyway, he's trying to reach them. And 90% of them wrote back and said, we hated your music. Because we want to be entertained. It's not what God likes and what God enjoys. It's what I like, what I enjoy. The music's not, it's not for your enjoyment. It's to the Lord. It's to the Lord. And he don't like AC/DC.
Right.
You say, why you bring that up? In Greenville, where my brother pastors, they opened the modern church there, some Baptist church opened a big conference, and in the warm-up to the service, they played Highway to Hell at a church service. And they said, why are we doing that? They asked them why they're doing it. Well, they like it. We're just warming the crowd up. No wonder God's not in a million miles of people's lives. You're going to take the devil's ways and the devil's music? You know that Bible talks about the song of fools? And that Bible talks about the song of drunkards? That shouldn't be our music. We have a different song. Why would I listen to somebody's song that doesn't even believe in God? People today, they're saved and they have people on their list of music that hate God. And live the most awful lives. Why would you want to listen? Well, I just like it. Well, maybe you need to quit liking it. Maybe I like scotch. You understand? Look, you better understand something really quick. There's a lot of things you like that you need to stay away from. You say, well, there's just, you know, I just have a tendency to that. Well, that doesn't mean it's right. That doesn't mean it's good for you. Because we like sin. Our body likes to sin. It's not, it's to the Lord. This music is for His purpose. It is for the purpose of our edification in the Word of God, which is why, by the way, He says that he gives three types of Christian music. Would you look at it in verse 19 of Ephesians chapter 4? There are three types of Christian music. He says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So there's psalms. You say, what's that? Well, you got a whole book in your Bible. We're supposed to be singing the scripture. Singing the scripture. You know, you say, singing the psalms? Yeah, he said the psalms was a book of music. Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. That's verse 1. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Verse 2, my soul shall make her boast in thee, Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Verse 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Singing the Bible. You won't hear that in a worship service, a modern day worship service. They ain't going to sing the Bible. They're going to sing seven words 50 times. And anything over two syllables is not getting in. How about singing Psalm 48? Great is the Lord, that's verse 1, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. That's a psalm. That's the Bible. God said, that's what I want you to sing. I want you to sing the Bible. Why? So you'll learn the Bible. You know, I can walk. I remember I was in Romania. I walked in a grocery store, and in Romania, they were playing a song from the 80s in America. That was... my teen years. And I'm telling you what, those words started coming in my brain, one after the other, just like I sung it yesterday. I knew all the intonations. I knew all the parts. Are you listening to me? And it wasn't God's music. The power of music to get words in your brain. And I hadn't heard that in 20 years. And one listen, bang, right there it is. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You know why we're supposed to be singing songs of the Bible and with the Psalms of God? So those verses get in our brain and we can't get them out. You want to memorize Scripture? Learn songs of the Bible instead of Jesus, 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 Jesus. He said, I want you to sing Psalms. I want you to sing the words of the Bible so they'll get in your heart. The law of the Lord, Psalm 19, is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. We can sing the Bible, but oh, that's boring. That's because you don't know anything about the Spirit of God. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. You're singing the Bible there, you know, Psalm 89. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness. That's a lot better than memorizing some rap song to get your body moving.
That's right. Amen.
Scripture. Sing the Scripture. Well, he didn't stop there. He says psalms, and then he says the second type of Christian music is hymns. Yeah. Hymns. Now, let me give you the definition of hymns right from the dictionary. It's the established, poetic, sacred songs of the church. Good. A hymn's something that's been around for a while. You know what was strange? We were over in Greece doing missionary work. And here walks in a man, he had had some exposure to the Greek evangelical church. He wasn't saved, but he got saved, amen. But he came into the church and we started singing hymns. And he came up there, we were singing them, we were trying to put the right words to the tunes that we knew. And immediately he said, let me see that book he was going through there. He said, I know these songs. I mean, we're singing, you know, oh, the deep, deep love. And he's up there singing at the piano. He said, I can't believe you know these songs. I said, I can't believe you know these songs. You know what that was? It was an established song of the church. You know how many hundreds and hundreds of years those songs go back in that book? Oh, let's just get rid of them and get something new. You'll get something else new too. God wants us to sing those established songs of the church. When Jesus and his disciples went out to the Mount of Olives, it said they sung a what? They sung a hymn, Mark 14:26. Not modern worship music, hymns. Established songs of the church. And then he says spiritual songs. That can be any kind of song that's sung with a spiritual theme. It doesn't have to be we have that tonight, you know, the I'd Rather Have Jesus. That's not a hymn that's been passed down, but it's a spiritual song. It points us to a spiritual truth. It's not right from the Bible, but it's okay. Now, I do have to point out a word here. Look at verse 19 again. He said, speaking to yourself. So we have these Church of Christ people that come along. I got to mention this because they really make, this is their one of their verses. They don't believe in any musical instruments in the church. Because they say, well, it says speaking. So you can only speak. Well, it didn't just say speaking, it says singing. I told one Church of Christ guy one time, he said, we don't believe in singing. I said, well, why are you using instruments? I said, why not? He said, well, it's not in the Bible. I said, neither is a water fountain. Or a bathroom. Or a Sunday school class. Or padded pews. Or electric lights. Nothing in the Bible that tells us we can't use instruments. Matter of fact, the Bible even says in the book of 1 and 2 Chronicles, he calls them the musical instruments of God. God would never put his name on anything that's sinful. There's nothing sinful about an instrument. They're sinful about the way you use that instrument. But I told that guy, I said, you know, how do you guys start your music? How do you get on the right note? They walk in the pulpit and they go, they blow their pitch pipe. Oh, there's an instrument. I said, we just have to blow all the notes to stay on key. And then the same people will go out and they'll listen to all kind of music in their car. Oh, we can't have a piano in church. You've lost your mind. God used David to invent so many of those instruments for his glory. And another thing that you can use to debunk that stupidity. When he says we're supposed to sing in psalms, how about all the psalms that says praise the Lord on the high sounding cymbals? So you're going to sing a psalm that says to do something you can't do? Somebody lost their brain. Praise him on the high sounding cymbals. I mean, how are you going to sing all those songs about praising him with instruments if you say you can't do that? He didn't say you can only sing the psalms that don't talk about instruments. That's just free. 19. Watch all these I and G words now. 19. Speaking. Then the middle, singing. Then making melody. And verse 20, giving. Look at how much of the Christian life he's using these words like this to describe. Look at verse 21. Submitting. You see that? Go up a verse. Verse 17, understanding. Verse 16, redeeming. Look at verse 10, proving. He's giving us an outline of our Christian lives. And he says here we need to be singing. You say, well, somebody says, well, I can't sing very well. It's like the people said, I can't pray. We're not interested in hearing your words anyway. I can't do it right. Well, who of us can? Well, I can't sing very well. Sing anyway. I've been in churches where the guy that's right here or the choir sang, and that's the only people that sang. I tell you what, you won't make a preacher, man. Sometimes I'm blind on purpose, but all these people that sit there like that during the song service, let everybody else sing. He said singing. That's a commandment. Sing. He said, well, I can't carry a tune. Do it anyway. Up in Virginia, I had some people that couldn't sing. Every now and then I'd sit by one of them. God says, I'm sorry. I mean, he was so off key and off tune. I said, that's all right. I'll sing louder than you. So I'll drown you out, brother. Let's just let it go. Sing to the Lord. Some of you sing in the shower. You don't care. Sing to the Lord here. That's what God, and He's wanting us to do that from our hearts. I tell you what would get away now? I do tell you why they're going to the modern music, because so much of the music in churches is dead. And if it's dead, nobody's interested in that. God or the devil or anybody else. But if everybody's singing, and in the Old Testament, boy, he said, sing loud. He said the singer sang loud. I don't like it loud. I don't care. Just do it anyway. Put stuff in your ears and sing loud. So he said, sing loud. The singer sang loud. I tell you what, it'll get exciting. We're here on Monday night, and the church is just packed and just bulging out, and we're singing. I tell you what, somebody had to hold my mule. I mean, I'm ready to go. It's exciting. There's life. There ought to be life in the people of God. There ought to be life in your home. There ought to be, your kids ought to know it's the greatest thing in the world to be saying. And they can see that if you got a song. If you don't have a song, he says, making melody in your heart, not your mouth. What is melody? Melody is the agreeable sounds arranged in rhythm, measure, and movement by one voice. In David's day and Solomon's day, they appointed singers that would sing the melody. It was a full-time position. You ever heard of Asaph? I mean, they trained their children and said, okay, all you guys are singers. You know why they were? Because they were talented. By the way, no, I better move on. Everybody can sing out there. Okay, I'll move on. He said, these sons of Asaph, now they can sing. We're going to make a full-time position for them. Isn't that great? I mean, here's people at full-time position working with animals and bringing the sacrifices to Levite. Here people at full-time position cleaning the temple. Here full-time position prophets. And he says, you singers, you're so important, we're going to make it a full-time position. Because we got to have good music to worship God. They paid them. They fed them. They took care of them. Because they wanted the melody there. You know what a melody is? Boy, I don't have time to develop all this. But that melody, you know what our modern music is losing? It's losing a melody. Y'all know what I'm saying? Rap music does not have a melody. That's not a melody. That's somebody speaking words. If you like rap music, if your kids like rap music, throw their devices away. There's no melody there. It's just bebop, hip-hop. There's no melody there. A lot of this electric dance music and all this Remax and a lot of the rock music, even in years past, had no melody. And the melody is what drives the things of our hearts to some truth that stirs us. A lot of jazz music doesn't even have a melody. A lot of music today is just rhythm and noise. Are you listening to me? There's no melody. Now, he didn't say the word harmony. Harmony is several voices with parts making beautiful sounds. There's nothing wrong with harmony. But we ought to be focused together in one purpose. We're trying to praise God. We're trying to honor God. We're trying to sing to God. And he says, giving thanks. He said, in everything, give thanks. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in our verse, he said in Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things. Man, that's hard. Unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, whatever comes what may, don't ever lose your song. Don't ever lose your thanksgiving. Psalm 69:30 says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. And he says, I want you to do all this, look at the end of verse 20, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We preach and teach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We baptize in the name of the Lord. We do all, he said in Colossians 3:17, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Everything we ought to do should be in his name. We get up to sing, we sing in his name, we open a hymn, we're doing it in the name of Jesus. We're doing it for his glory. Ought to be from our hearts and be from a heart full of thanks. And I tell you what would make a difference in our music if we walked in church with a deeply thankful heart, it'd make a difference in our singing. What would make a difference in our Christian life if we were filled with so much gratitude to God that the Spirit just bubbled over His joy and His peace in our lives that would come out of our mouth? I've watched some people sing that they got just so full of joy and so full of thanksgiving they just couldn't even finish a song. Just cry. And God's saying, that's what I need in your heart. That's what you need in your heart. And that's a whole lot better than Lady Gaga. Or whatever the top 10 is, that I'm glad I'm so out of style I don't even know what it is. Jesus don't like Lady Gaga. Or whatever. Whatever they like, I don't like. I want to like what He likes. Now there's some of that music that's not right that I got to admit, but you got to go back because music is degenerated now. It ain't even music anymore. But their music back in the past, I gave you an illustration. Oh, my flesh likes it. You know what I got to do? I got to check myself. Nope. Not what God wants me to listen to. That's not what the Holy Ghost wants to point my attention to. I'll tell you what. I've watched many a young person get captivated by the devil with music. And I've watched many young adults that get captivated by the devil's music in some modern place. And had nothing to do with God. It had something to do with how it makes me feel and how I enjoy it. And I didn't ask myself, do you like it?